I had a huge honour. I spoke 5 weeks ago, I think it was. There were candles up there. You might or might not remember. Yeah. We spoke about candles. And 2 weeks later, somebody in the church came to me and said, I can remember 3 words that you said 2 weeks ago. I wasn't sure if that was a positive that they could remember three or a negative that they'd obviously forgotten the rest. But they could remember them, couldn't they, Sue? Can you still remember them, Sue?
I still remember them.
And they were?
He meant well.
He meant well. Those are the words for my tombstone when the time comes up. I do my very best. Okay. Now, this is this week's visual aid. You all know what this is? It's a shofar, and it's Norman Burnett's shofar, which makes it particularly holy. And it was going to be particularly used, but I got in a muddle with the plans, so at the moment it isn't. But it is all about shofars, and we're going to be talking about the coming again of the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm going to start with some scriptures, and then we're going to ask one or two people what they think when something happens. And then when I've finished, hopefully we will have reminded ourselves, or even heard for the first time, some truth or other about the plans that Jesus has got for returning. And if we've forgotten that he is returning, we need to remember, because he is coming again. So on the screen at the moment are two verses that remind us of this, and they are, if you can see the screen, shall we read them together? Our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Saviour from there, Christ, who will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like his glorious body. Did you notice the word eagerly there? We eagerly wait. And the next verse. May you be blameless and holy in the presence of our God and Father when our Lord Jesus comes with all his holy ones. So far, two scriptures that remind us that actually God's got an eternal plan for the return of his son, Jesus Christ. Now, can I get the next? Yes, I can. Shall we keep going? The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel and the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first, then those still alive will meet him in the air and be with him forever. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. See how the farmer waits for the crop, how patient he is for the autumn and the spring rains. Expecting that? No. Okay. That is a shofar being played, believe it or not. How anyone can get that sound out of an instrument like that, I can't imagine. Norman, I presume, can. But my efforts were a little more bumbly than that. Gary, come and tell us how you felt when you, or think you will feel, when you hear the real article.
Yeah, so Vincent and I were discussing about this in the week, and I thought about this, the idea of the trumpet sounding, kind of beckoning in Jesus to the earth, and the idea of him like coming on the clouds. And I was thinking, I wonder if I've got any time from the time he comes on the clouds till the time he gets to the bottom. And if I do, what would I do with that little bit of time? Would I be like frantically confessing all my sins that are already forgiven? Or would I be like telling all my neighbours about Jesus? Or would I be running to Ellie's school thinking, oh, how's she getting? That's assuming he comes back. Oh, that'd be good, wouldn't it? And our school time. What would I actually be doing? Like, if I heard that sound, that trumpet sound going through my body, what would it cause me to do? I wonder what it would actually cause you to do. Because that's a question I have for myself. But I wonder how much time I'd actually get. You know, maybe I'd have a fair amount of time. Maybe I'd have no time at all. But if you heard that trumpet sound now, if that was real, what would you do? Would we all like belt it out of this door? I mean, where would we go? Would I like want to go skydiving? Or would I want to tell my neighbours about Jesus? Or would I confess all my... What would you do? I wonder what you'd do.
It is, of course, only Gary who could possibly be wondering how many minutes there'll be while the dead in Christ are rising before we follow them. But it was a unique thought, wasn't it? And I got myself thinking about it as well. The answer to the question is on the screen. The day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, it will come suddenly as labour pangs come on a pregnant woman. But you are aware, so the day should not surprise you like a thief. In the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day came. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. From which we have to ask ourselves, can I ignore the second coming? Can I blot it out of my mind and think, oh well, when it happens, it happens? Because Peter, in his second letter, asks this question, so, in the light of this, what kind of people should you be? Your life should be holy and dedicated to God. And most of us are thinking, well, that rules me out then. But Peter is encouraging us that if we're thinking and really believing that Jesus Christ is coming back, it affects how we live now. I don't think I'm going to ask for a show of hands because I'd have to keep mine down, which would be bad. But like, so do I actually think every day that Jesus is going to return? Maybe you're happy to ask yourself the same question. Do you think weekly, monthly, Jesus is coming back? And it's a centre, because I actually looked for a few pictures that looked like what it will look like when the last trumpet blows. Needless to say, none of them came to my satisfaction, so I've left it to my imagination. Every single picture I looked at had got horses and people with long hair and faces obscured, and I couldn't even be quite sure which one was Jesus. But when he does come and that trumpet does blow, it's going to be an amazement. It's going to be the centre of our whole existence. It's going to be something exciting and something that we will be wishing we'd thought about more, I do believe.
When that horn is blown, the trumpet sounding, it will be whoopee, new body, no more limitations and confinement to this human body. Yeah, frustration at an end, a new voice to sing and shout praise to God. That was the immediate thoughts. I can't say further than that because they were secondary.
Some scriptures on that subject. His coming will bring relief. Let's read the two scriptures. God will bring relief to you who are troubled. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven with his powerful angels. When Christ, who is your life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. And I say to myself again, I'm not even thinking about this daily, but the centre of my hope as a Christian is that Jesus is coming again and I hope to be joining with him and countless others, including everybody here. And it says, God will bring relief to you who are troubled. It will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven. That's when the absolute ultimate relief from problems will come.
It's interesting when Gary mentioned time, because my first instinct was to look at the word moment and look it up in the Greek, and it actually, the Greek means that it cannot be divided. We can divide a second into a tenth, a hundredth, or maybe even a thousandth now, but that moment is can't be divided. It's so I just wondered, is there anything, there's time for anything to go through my mind? What I do know is that there'll be joy inexpressible, more joy, greater, more intense, even than the joy I feel now when I'm in the presence of the Lord.
His coming will bring restoration. Let's read the scripture that tells us so. He, Jesus, must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything, as he promised long ago through his holy prophets.
So I just reflecting on what might be running through my mind, and I sort of drew back to the last time that something unexpected happened, and that was the earthquake. In it affects everyone at the same time, and there's a sense of what's happening. Everyone runs outside, and it's kind of expectancy. And I think I'm just picking up a little bit on that theme, and then just a sense of awestruck wonder, which we picked up in that last song, and I couldn't think of how to sum it up in a few words, but awestruck wonder was really what would be running through my mind.
There are those who like us to think that Jesus has already come back, or that somehow or other this is to do with the coming of the Holy Spirit and nothing to do with the physical return of Jesus. The book of Acts and many other verses flatly contradict that. This is the scene where Jesus has been taken up into heaven. The disciples are gazing up after him, and an angel appears, and these are the words that the angel says. Let's read them. Men of Galilee, why do you stand here looking into the sky? This same Jesus who has been taken from you into heaven will come back in the same way as you have seen him go into heaven. The same way. I reckon the Bible says the same way. The Bible means the same way. The best bit I like about that is that I actually for once looked at what I put on the screen, and I see I put a question mark after the word, as you have seen him go into heaven. There is no question about it. He will come back in the same way. So all of you English scholars here, please replace in your mind a question mark with an exclamation mark. He will come back, and he will come back in the same way as we have seen him go into heaven. So in a moment we're going to move on. So this is our little summary. The second coming is biblical fact. Jesus and nearly every New Testament writer believe it and teach it. There are 27 books in the New Testament of the Bible. Over 20 of them refer directly to the promise that Jesus Christ is going to return. One in every 25 New Testament verses is to do with the second coming. So maybe I should at least think about it once every 25 hours or something, I don't know. The only subject more fully covered in the New Testament is salvation itself. The thing that was most talked about was God's plan of salvation, that Christ came from heaven to earth, lived a sinless life because we needed him to, died a death on the cross that paid the penalty for all of mankind's sins, if they would believe, vanquished death, rose triumphant out the grave, and has returned to heaven, waiting for this second time of coming. We are all somewhere on that journey. If we've not yet started, the first one is turn to Christ and believe. The second coming will happen through God's plan, in God's time, by God's way, but it is fact. So hopefully that's a little background to where Toby's going to come in now and just bring you the particular angle on the subject that the Lord gave him by the Holy Spirit. And I'll take this moment just to say that I haven't worked all that much with Toby, but I want to endorse Toby. I think he's a great credit to wherever he's come from, perhaps especially his family. And I believe that by God's grace, his good things coming. I've had him in two or three Connect group settings, and each time he has impressed and blessed by what he said, because it comes from a pure heart and a humble heart and a heart of someone that knows God. So I feel ready to listen to him.
Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. All nations, make disciples of all nations. That's not just countries. Countries are borders. Nations are people. Tribes, castes, all sorts. There's 1.5 billion people in the world who don't have a Bible translated into their own language, their first language. That's 1.5 billion people who are really going to struggle to, well, hear about God, read about him for themselves, read about Jesus. 57% of world languages do not have a Bible available to them as well. There's a lot of work to be done, I would question. If we are going to see the end of, in our lifetimes, could we see the end of time if we can reach these people? Yeah, just turn to each other and just either have a chat about all this. How does that make you feel? Do you agree? Do you disagree or what? Yeah. Maybe have 2 minutes to chat to yourselves about. I think it is quite a difficult question to ask, to see if we've got responsibility. I think, or certainly in my life, and I've always thought that there's one day set in the future and that's when Jesus will come, that's when the trumpet will sound, it will all come together then. But I think it's difficult, it's uncomfortable to think that we might have responsibility in this. That our mission is to reach all these people, and maybe we're not that far ahead in the mission as we'd hope to be. Yeah, I think the tools Jesus has given us, the gifts we've got, I think maybe we haven't, as a whole, as a global church, used them as in a community together to the best of our abilities to reach all these people. Just, yeah, some questions to think about. But yeah, do we want it to come? Do we want the second coming to come? Do we want, well, yes, that's great. Does everyone want it to come? Let's go. Let's go reach these people. I know yesterday watching the rugby, a lot of us wanted the second coming to come. Jeremy definitely wanted it to come. He was screaming at the TV. But yeah, do we want to actively go out and reach these people? Maybe see that Jesus come in our own lifetime. How amazing would that be if in 50 years he comes down? How amazing would that be? That would be, man, that would be unbelievable, wouldn't it? Sorry, 10 years. 15 years, but yeah. Yeah, see. And I don't think he is going to come. I think he's going to give us that opportunity as well. He wants as many people up with him in heaven as he can get. That's why he hasn't come yet. He's desperate for his children to be up there with him, all of us, and all our friends, our families, everyone we've ever met. He is desperate for them to be up there. And I think we've just got to, you can tell by your reaction that we all want that as well, don't we? We want every person we've ever met, everyone we've ever loved to be up there with us, having a great time for the rest of eternity. Yeah, and just, so what can we do? What practical things can we do? That's where my mind goes. I think a massive one, pray for everyone. I think that's one of the most effective tools we've ever been given. Maybe we don't, I don't use it to the best of what it can be used for. We can just make friends, just be friends with people. That's 80% of, there was a survey in the US of 15,000 people, and 80% of these people came to Christ through a friend or a family member. There was only 1% came to faith through crusades and massive events, or 4%, sorry. And 80% came to Christ through just someone being someone's friend. And that, I think, yeah, just loving people. I think that's such an effective way as well. Just be someone, be there for someone, invite them to an alpha course or go bowling with them or whatever. Just, yeah, just get out there and make friends. And I'm sure everyone loves to do anyway, but yeah. What else? Has anyone got any? Well, yeah, have a talk with each other for a couple of minutes again. What could you do in the next week to maybe further the kingdom? I think they're quite difficult questions. Not everyone will agree with what I've tried to ask, I'm sure, but I think we've got some good questions to think on now. I think it'd be good to take communion now and remember Jesus, remember who we're going to try and do all this for, I think.